Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read two verses as our text this morning, verses 13 and 14. Jump right into our message after the young people bring us a good song here. Okay? Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Book of Philippians. Find that in your Bible. And I love to hear the sound of the pages turning. That's a blessing. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. I'll read verse 13. Would you please join me on verse number 14 this morning? Out of Philippians 3, Paul writing, Church of Philippi, says this, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that You'll open our hearts and eyes, please, to Your Word this morning. And Lord, I know a lot of times You respond to us according to how we are to You. And so, Lord, if we're uninterested, if we're not concerned about any spiritual matters, maybe You won't speak to our hearts this morning. But God, if we do show interest and we're hungry, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So help us to bring an open heart and a hungry heart. And then will You please feed us from the good book of God. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank You, BC. Speak to you for a little bit on the subject, keeping focused on my race. Paul said in verse number 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I want to speak to you on the subject, keeping focused on my race. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the good service already this morning. Lord, the talking about the veterans and letting these men introduce themselves. And again, we thank you for their efforts, and we thank you for our country. Pray that you'll bless it, God. We need you to do something strong in our country again to bring us back on our knees to your presence and your face. So, Lord, bless our country. Help us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll use the Word of God in our hearts. We'll be careful to thank you for it. Dear Holy Spirit, have your way, please. Help me lead, guide, and direct my thoughts and the words that will come from my lips. I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. On February 19, 1916, which is several years ago, a large crowd of spectators gathered to watch some track and field events that were hosted by the Army Corps of Engineers in New York City. Athletes from colleges, universities in that part of our nation, that northeastern part of our nation up there, and some from the Army were invited to take part in races. They had walking races. They had running races. They had bicycle races. I was looking over the newspaper article the other day from 1916. And so these athletes were competing. Now, the featured event was the 1,000-yard race. And it was a small track of 100 yards, so they had to run 10 laps around that very small track and a 1,000-yard race. On the fourth lap of that race, Joseph T. Higgins of Holy Cross, he was a student at Holy Cross, he jumped out to a lead, and he held on to that lead until the last lap. As the runners began that last lap, Higgins had a 7-yard lead with only 100 yards to go. And when the bell rang, his nearest opponent was a man by the name of David Caldwell. When that last lap began, they rang a bell, signaling that it was the last lap of the race. And for some reason, and I don't know why, Higgins, who's in first place by 7 yards, he made a mistake that's commonly made by poor runners with no experience. And this was an experienced runner. He looked over his shoulder, and that glance behind him cost him 12 inches of his lead. That doesn't sound like a whole lot when you got a 7-yard lead. Except for the fact that with little time left, David Caldwell, he hit his stride. He saved his kick for that last lap. He caught Higgins, and he hit the tape in front of Higgins, finishing in first place by 6 inches over Joseph Higgins. That one glance behind Joseph Higgins cost him the victory. For that brief span of time, he lost focus on his race, trying to find out what the guy behind him was doing. Who's up behind me? How close are they? He lost focus on his race. Now, the Apostle Paul, he knew something about athletics, and he used athletics often while teaching truths about the Christian life. And let me say this morning, the Christian life is a race. It's a race. We have folks in this room who have been saved for over 50 years. We have folks in this room who have been saved for maybe 5 months. It is a race. It is a marathon. It is not a 40-yard dash. It's not a 1,000-yard dash. It is a marathon. And every Christian in this life must run this race. And the race I'm talking about is your race. You have to run your race. I have to run my race. Each one of us is running our race. And in running, folks, we must look forward, not backward. We must keep focused on that which is ahead of us if we hope to cross the finish line for Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know the Apostle Paul, obviously. If I were to make a guess, I would say that Paul was a competitor. Most men are. Most men, they can't watch two ants on a sidewalk going in the same direction, heading toward a crack in the sidewalk, without pulling for one of those ants to get to the crack first. That's how men are. And a lot of ladies possess a competitive nature as well. I've seen that on the volleyball courts over the years. By the way, our young people start their ball season this coming Thursday in Dwight. The tournament starts. And I'm looking forward to that. Some ladies have a competitive spirit. I believe Paul's greatest competition was against himself. In fact, he made it clear that to compete against others was unwise and foolish. And I think that's something that you and I need to remember as we run our race. It may sound selfish, but Paul was concerned about keeping focused on his race. He was his greatest competition. And he had to keep himself under control. And he had to keep his focus on his race. And in writing to the Philippians here, Paul expresses some of this competitive nature. And he lays out some principles, I think some truths about running the race with the goal of crossing the finish line that you and I can learn from this morning. I want to point out, first of all, number one, Paul's challenge. I want you to see it, Paul's challenge, verse number 13. Look at what he said here. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." On looking at his life, Paul looked at his life. He now has been saved for almost 30 years, okay, at this point in time. And he recognizes, as he looks at 30 years of salvation, he recognizes that in spite of all his successes and in spite of all his victories, he still had a race to run. There was a race in front of him. He had not finished his race. He had not yet crossed his finish line. And we'll say this, folks, it would be very easy for the Apostle Paul to count his successes, to count his accomplishments, and put the rest of his life on coast. On cruise control, if you will. But I want to tell you something. Paul was not content with his victories and his accomplishments. He was challenged by his race. And that's what I want you and I to be challenged by in order to cross the finish line. We need to be challenged by our race. Look, friend, you and I need to learn this truth. When a church like Faith Baptist Church gets to be 40 years of age, which we are this year, and we'll celebrate that one more time in the month of December, there are a lot of folks, there are usually a good number of Christians, who have been saved for many years. Now, I'm looking at you this morning. I'm looking at folks that have been saved for 25 years, folks that have been saved for 30 years, 35 years. I've been saved for 34 myself, 40 years, 45, 50, some more than 50 years. Our bodies and our physical strength may begin to wane a little bit, but friend, no matter how long you've been saved, and no matter how weak or tired or frail your body becomes, we must still be challenged by the race that's in front of us. If we can't physically do what we used to do, I'm not trying to put myself in, I feel like I can physically do a lot of what I used to do. The recovery time is longer. But I know there are some of you who can't physically do what you used to do. But I'm not just talking about physical things. I'm talking about being challenged by a godly life. I'm talking about being challenged by a pure and holy testimony. I'm talking about being challenged by having a deeper Bible knowledge, by having a closer walk with Jesus Christ, by having a very intimate prayer life with Jesus. These are all things that you and I can have with, no matter what the strength of our body provides. See, and need to be challenged by these things. The challenge of those things ought to keep us running our race. What a dangerous place it is when we become satisfied with our accomplishments rather than challenged by our race. I love the story of Caleb in the Old Testament. Man, he's 85 years of age. 85. And it was, no doubt, friend, he was at the point in his life where he could have said to Joshua, "You know what? I think I'll just enjoy the spoils of success and let these younger soldiers fight the battles and conquer the enemy and get the land all conquered." He could have said that at 85 and nobody would have said a thing. Everybody would have understood. Man, he's 85. And yet Caleb was not of that spirit. He wanted that mountain that belonged to him. And he told Joshua, he said, "Joshua, please let me go after it. I know I'm 85, but I still have a fire burning in my heart. I want that mountain. Let me go get it." And Joshua let him go get it, and Caleb conquered that mountain at 85 years of age. And I'm saying this morning, no matter how long you've been saved, 5 years or 55 years, there ought to be a challenge burning in your heart. There ought to be a challenge burning in my heart about about the race that is still before us. I mean, there ought to be something burning. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you challenged as far as your spiritual life is concerned? Is there something about your spiritual life that challenges you? Are you challenged by the race that's still before you? Is your heart still stirred for God? Is there something burning inside of you that you want to accomplish? It may not be in the arena of the physical, but I'm talking the spiritual. Now, if there is no challenge, why is there no challenge? Are you basking in the aroma of victories won and accomplishments secured? Even you younger folks that have been saved, you know, some of you younger people get saved at age 5 and 6 and 8, and now you're 25 and 26 and 28, and you've been brought up in a Christian home and a godly influence and godly parents and Christian school and youth group, and now you've married. And you've got children of your own, and you've got kids, and you got a job, and you got a house, and you got a pretty solid testimony. You never took a walk on the wild side. And that's good. I'm for that. I say amen. But have you just become satisfied with that? Is there a challenge burning in your heart today? Is there something out there as far as your spiritual life is concerned that excites you, that stirs you? I'm not talking just about people automatically think I'm talking about, you know, getting people saved, and that's a part of it. But it's not just winning folks to Christ. It's your own walk with Christ. It's your own development in your knowledge of the Bible. It's your own testimony. It's your godly life. What is challenging your heart? Are you stirred by anything like the Apostle Paul was when he said, I look back over 30 years of being saved. I see churches started. I see souls saved. I see people won to Christ. But I have not finished my race. He was challenged by his race. I hope that there's something in the Christian life that challenges you. And if there's not, maybe you should ask God to help you find something that will challenge your heart. I enjoy watching Christian people who've been saved for a long time. I mean, I enjoy watching new people get saved and have a fire for God. But I want to tell you what actually makes me happier is to see people who've been saved for years and years just on fire for God. I'm talking about stirred up for God. I'm talking about stirred up for the Lord. And recently, a man in our church who's been saved, I'm sure, since he was a child. His heart has been stirred in his walk for Christ. He's challenged by his Christian life. He's got some things he wants to accomplish. He's talked to me about it on the telephone, calls me sometimes, tells me this is going on, this is going on. I love that. I love to see somebody who's been saved for years and years and years that's not satisfied with their accomplishments. They're challenged by the race that's before them. Are you challenged this morning? Are you challenged spiritually this morning? Is there anything burning in your heart to accomplish for God in the years that you have left, in the remaining time in your race? I see Paul being challenged here by the fact that his race was not finished. But number two, I want you to see something else. I want you to see Paul's concentration. We see his challenge in verse 13. Then we see his concentration. Look at what he says here. He says, but this one thing I do. Now, if Paul was to finish his race, it would require his concentration to one specific matter. He said, this one thing I do. Then he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I said, wait a minute, that sounds like two things. Well, Paul said it was one. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Look, folks, the only way to avoid being sidetracked by what is behind us is to keep our eyes on what is before us. And that's what the Apostle Paul learned. You know what he learned? He learned not to make the mistake that Joseph Higgins made. You can't look over your shoulder. That's a mistake. If you're running a race, you might stumble and fall. You'll lose time. It always costs you to look over your shoulder. So don't look over your shoulder. It always costs you. What was behind Paul? What was behind the Apostle Paul? Well, victories and defeats and accomplishments and failures. Hey, it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative. It doesn't matter, good or bad. It doesn't matter. It's behind him. It's over. He can't do anything about it. It's back there. And when you're running the race, you can't afford a glance over your shoulder. So Paul's concentration was on the future, to take the time to look behind at any of those victories or defeats would have cost Paul a moment of concentration in his race. And when you're in a race to win and cross the finish line, you can't afford a lapse in concentration. His concentration was on what was before him. Looking behind at past victories and successes won't help me. Won't help me. It could make me lazy and content. Give me a big head. That'll cost me in my race. On the other hand, looking at past failures and past defeats won't help either. And let me say this morning. Some people get fixated on the injustices of the past. I don't always have to be talking to you to carry you on my heart. And I heard about something that happened to one of our church members this week, and something that had been pending for some time, and then the decision was finally made. And when I heard it, I thought it was a horrible, cruel injustice. And I grieved. Never even talked to the person about it. But I grieved for this member in our church who I felt like this was just a horrible, cruel injustice. And you know what, folks? That happens in life. And listen to me. That's behind you. It's behind you. Now, you can get fixated on it. And you can look behind you and dwell on the injustice and dwell on the cruelty. And dwell on the hurt, and dwell on the pain, and dwell on how unfair it was. But the whole time you're looking behind you, you're losing concentration. It's costing you in your race. Forget it. It's behind you. Let it go. It's done. It's over. Focus. Keep your concentration on that which is ahead of you. You know, I can't change the past. I can't change last week. If I missed my Bible reading last Tuesday, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? If I missed my Bible reading last Thursday, what can I do about it now? Commiserate? No, I can do one thing. I can read my Bible today. And then I can read my Bible tomorrow. And I can read it on Wednesday. And I can read it on Thursday. I need to keep my concentration on that which is ahead of me. If I allow myself to lose my concentration on the race in front of me, I get in trouble. Look, folks, I don't know what you think. Preachers aren't super Christians, and they're not super Baptist or super powerful people. I had some wasted years. I heard the gospel when I was young. I could have been saved like this young boy right down here in the front row. I could have been saved when I was a kid. It wasn't my dad's fault that I didn't get saved. It wasn't my mother's fault. I rejected the gospel. And I knew I was lost. And I went in that lost condition until I was 18 years of age. And so much junk in those high school years. And listen to me. I could spend some time in regret and remorse looking behind over my shoulder about those wasted years. But what good does that do me? How does that help me? It doesn't help me. In fact, it hurts me. It saps my energy. It saps my encouragement. It cost me concentration. I don't need to look back at those years. They're behind me. And by the way, in the sight of Almighty God, they're gone. Why in the world do we want to get on an airplane and fly back to a time in our life to find something that God said isn't there? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that good about our God? It's one thing, brother, to be forgiven, to be guilty and forgiven. It's something altogether different to be not guilty. And that's what it is. Brother, listen, why should I try to go find something that God said He has removed from me as far as the east is from the west? I was reminded of that this past week. It's a long ways. Mercy. Flew. We spent 23 hours on the plane. Brother. And I wasn't in the business class. Amen. I passed by those seats and I have to confess that I coveted. Amen. When I went by those, I coveted when I said, man, it'd be nice to sleep there. My wife's seat on one of those flights was broken. Remember that, babe? The back wouldn't stay up. She kept falling back in the lap of the lady behind her. I was glad it was a lady behind her, not some man, you know. She kept falling back in the lap of this lady. I told the stewardess, this chair's broken. And I thought to myself, I hope they have to move her to business class. That would be wonderful. But no, they had an open seat in the Vienna sausage section, so that's where she got it. So, but anyway. Oh, east, you can't measure east from west. You fly east and east and east and east, and you can't find west. There's always an eastern. The same thing if you go west. And that's how far, come on, Christian, try to comprehend that That's how far those past defeats and wasted years are from you, as far as the east is from the west. Don't jump on a plane and try to go find that. God says, what are you looking for? It's gone. You don't the concentration is on the future. I have to remind myself of this sometimes. I can get so anxious over the wasted years, but that's foolish. What's that going to help me for? What's that going to help me with the next week? What's that going to help me with next month? They're done, behind, gone. I can't change what's back there. But bless God, I can still do something about what's ahead out there. Some Christians, I believe with all my heart, some Christians are victims of their own prison sentence. When Jesus saved us, He set us free. He forgave us. And He didn't just forgive us. He cleared our record. Hey, He got you out of prison. Don't go back in. Let him go back there and look and see what the cell is like. I see his challenge. Paul said, I have not yet apprehended. Behind me are victories and accomplishments, but I have not crossed my finish line yet. I'm not going to be satisfied until I cross the line. And then he said his concentration was forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead of me. His concentration. And then look at his commitment. I'm talking about if you and I are going to cross the finish line for Christ. I'm talking about my race. I'm talking about your race. Look at his commitment in verse number 14. I love it. He said, I press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. Folks, you can't read that and think that Paul was casual about this, can you? I'm pressing. I don't see that. I see a fiery man. I'm pressing. He was committed to pressing on and pursuing the race ahead. I press. The race may take me down a sloping hill where it's easy, or it may take me up a steep, grueling climb. Regardless, I press. The race may lead me through sunny, brilliant rays of light or through the deepest shades of darkest night. It doesn't matter. I press. The race may bring me victories or it may bring me defeats. It doesn't matter. I press. It's not what the race brings across my path. It's the fact that there's still a race to run. That's what matters most. It's the finish line. And I press toward the finish line. I press towards it. If we get casual, friend, you become a casualty. I'm talking to you this morning. Yeah, about finishing your race. Your race. I'm talking about keeping focused on your race. Be committed to your race. I want to be committed to my race. Let every one of us be consumed by the finish line that's in front of us. Let's press towards it. Friend, if you don't get the idea that the winds of change are blowing in this country, then your head is deep in the sand. Let me ask you a question. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. If they pass all this nonsense that's this health care bill, you're going to pay the fine, you're going to sign up for the government provided. There's something that rebels in me about signing up, being forced to by the government. There's something that rebels. You guys didn't fight for that kind of stuff. The winds of change are blowing in this country. When you've got a president who is, by all of his own statements, a Muslim in faith. And some of you folks, I just get so aggravated at something. Well, you know. They're teaching that. They're teaching the tenets of Muslim and the Koran in our public schools. They're shoving it down our throats. Say what you want to. But that was an angry Muslim who opened fire at Fort Hood, Brother Harper, and killed those 13 people. And he's in our military, a major. And they sit in our Congress. They're sitting in the Oval Office. We shouldn't talk about stuff like this. Well, why not, folks? It's reality. It's where we are. What's a Christian going to do? Just float along with the winds of change and whatever the government tells me, that's what I'm going to do, like a mindless, numbless robot? No, I got a race to run. And I've said it before, as long as this country makes it so that I can be patriotic while running my race, I'll be patriotic. But brother, I'll tell you something. When patriotism interferes with my race, God gets my allegiance. That's right, brother. I'm talking about finishing our race. It's not going to be just a casual little jaunt to the finish line in the sunny skies and the blue cool breezes, balmy breezes at our back. I'm afraid, friend, no sir, I'm afraid in this day and age it's going to be running the finish line with a stormy gale blowing in our face. I want to cross the line of my race. And if I'm going to do that, I got to press. It's going to take commitment. Something that some of God's people have been very slow to give is commitment. But serve God as long as it's been easy. Well, friend, it may not always be easy. Press. 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 Now, there will be many opportunities to quit. So many excuses the devil will try to get us to quit the race. The world will unload its arsenal of temptations to try to get us to quit the race. You know who the one is who will finish? The one who presses. Presses and presses and presses and presses and presses for the purpose of finishing our race. Well, how did it work out for the Apostle Paul? I don't have time to turn you there, but you know, most of you know it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, just a few years after he wrote these words, Paul was in a different jail cell, and Paul would write these words, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He's not talking about leaving prison. He's talking about leaving this world. And then he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." I like that. Paul crossed the line of his race. That's what I want to do, dear Lord. I want to cross the line. And by the way, he spent the last few years of his life, his race, in prison. I tell you what, I don't want to scare anybody too bad, but there's a lot of Bible theologians who believe that when Paul said here, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus," he was talking about martyrdom. Because martyrdom in Bible days, in these days especially, was considered such a high honor. I want to cross the finish line. If I have to cross it in jail, or if I can cross it in freedom still coming to church, if I have to cross it with bruises and battered bumps and getting whipped, or if I cross it good, I just want to cross my finish line. I'm challenged by what's ahead of me. I can't afford spending any time looking behind me and losing energy and encouragement about things that I cannot change. It's ahead of me. And I want to press and be committed to crossing my line for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for each one of us, friend. I've said it over the years as we come down to the end of another year in just a few weeks. Again, I'm not interested in how big this church gets. I'm glad for big days. I'm glad for a big attendance. That's good and fine. Whatever God wants to give us, I am far more concerned about hopefully growing a group of committed people of God who will cross the finish line for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about young and old. Crossing the line. It'll take being challenged. It'll take concentration. And it'll take commitment. May God help us to learn from this man's life who put it in the eternal record of God's Word to help us focus on our race. Don't lose focus, folks. Don't lose focus. Keep your eye on the tape of your race. Even a brief glance behind you could cost you 12 inches. Keep your eyes on what's ahead. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning.